From the 915 to H-Town, from the Panhandle Plains to the Valley, and everywhere in between, this is the 50-50 Podcast, powered by National Scouting Report. Join me, Hector Cano, as we cover the Texas high school club and college soccer landscape, along with an inside look at the college soccer recruiting scene. The 50-50 Podcast is a platform about the people and for the people who are dedicated to the beautiful game. Here we go, episode 109 of the 50-50 Podcast. I am proud to be joined by a gentleman who I've had a chance to meet in the last year. Coach I have great respect for. He is Coach David Johnson, the head men's soccer coach at San Antonio Johnson, the Jaguars. Coach, how are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Hey, and I got to ask you right from the start, because I know somebody's going to be asking it. Does your last name have to be Johnson to coach at Johnson? I'm sure you get that all the time. Tell us about that.
I'll tell you what, if I had a nickel for every time, Johnson at Johnson, right? You know what? It was a match made in heaven, I guess. It just was meant to be.
There you go. So how are things going, Coach?
Oh, they're going great, man. I'll tell you what, we clinched first place with two games to go.
Congrats.
You know, it's been a dream, man. It's been really cool.
Yeah. Awesome. So, yeah, and we're going to dive into that, obviously, a little bit more. But you still have two games left. Is that right?
We just played Lee. We drew to 1-1 tie 2 days ago.
Okay.
And so we got one game coming up.
Title last week with two games to go, right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. So congrats. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. But just overall, I think that was last Friday, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah. So from then to having to quick turnaround during spring break and play Lee, what was that like? Did you even have time to enjoy it? You got to prepare for Lee. How, you know, that must have been an odd dynamic for not just you, your coaching staff, but the players, right?
Yeah, 100%. It's been a really weird dynamic, because knowing you have two games left, how do you keep competitive, right? How do you keep motivated? How do you keep trying to win? You know what I'm saying? So it's been a weird deal. Usually you don't clinch that early. You don't clinch with two games to go, and you know, you're still kind of fighting for a playoff spot. It's also new for Johnson. It's us. It's not something we've experienced. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe 2017 was the last time they won it. And so for us, it was just kind of, it's still something we're still trying to navigate. 'Cause then you got spring break, right? You have a game, you know, Lee came out playing hard. They're fighting for their playoff lives right now, and I knew it was going to be tough, right? And so you got a spring break game. It's 2:00 in the afternoon. It's a different time. It's just, you know, it's a whole new dynamic for a high school kid, us to compete and try to win.
Yeah. Now, and you know, so me going back to my time in El Paso, so this is not my first time on the public side, on the UIL side. However, it was my first time this week coaching during the spring break, right? Outside on the TAP side, of course, I had to do it during a regional final state tournament, kind of trying to navigate that one before, but never had to do it in a regular season game, right down the stretch. What has that been like? What have you noticed in terms of just the spring break week game? What is that like?
You know, some of the things that's tough about spring break in general is you got to look at the time you play, right? Most of the referees, they have full-time jobs. So if you're going to play at 12, you're going to play at 2, you know, you're going to play early in the day. It's tough to get refs. It's tough to get coverage, right? So we had a duel. I thought they did a great job, but it's tough for the referees to cover those games. And especially at this point in the season, these games can be very, very meaningful for playoffs, you know? And so it's tough, right? And then the other thing to think about is, as much as you try not to, there's vacations, there's travel, there's kids that don't have a choice, but they have to go out of town. You know, and so we all have to kind of navigate that. It's not exactly the easiest thing in the world, but it's kind of difficult given the UIL schedule, the calendar, to figure out a way to not play. I'm just grateful we only had to play one game.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You and I both. Do you feel over the course of several years, do you feel like it's become tougher as far as coordinating all of that during the spring break week, or about the same? Has it become a little easier? Any direction there?
Well, no, at least going into it, knowing we're going to have one game over spring break. It's been nice because we're able to tell them early on, tell our parents, tell our community, we're going to have a game over spring break. You know, I try not to schedule anything after, since we only have the first, you know, Monday, Tuesday, JV varsity.
Right.
So look, listen, guys, give us those first 2 days and then you can have your spring break Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, and that's been kind of the deal. I'm not sure how it would be if I had to play two games during spring break, because I do think the mental break is vital too at this point in the season.
Oh yeah. You
know, all these matches.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. So this season, right? 2023-2024 season. It's not over yet, obviously. District champs, 10-4-4 overall, undefeated in, you know, the meat grinder that is 28-6A. We'll talk about that a little bit more as well. But tell us just your general thoughts, takeaways up to this point regarding your season.
So, you know, it goes back to last year, right? We had a good group last year, and we play Lee. Lee's tough, man. They were really, really good last year. And, you know, we go 78 minutes, 72 minutes, down 0-1. We get an equalizer and then somehow end up losing that game 4-1. You know, Lee, hats off to them. They played amazing, but we conceded 3 goals in the final 8 minutes. And you could just feel that our kids weren't satisfied. They knew we could have done better. They felt like, you know, we had some unfinished business going into this coming season. So we harped on that in the offseason. And we made it a point of emphasis to compete, you know, every game, every day. We did so many different things to compete, you know. And so to be able to win the Ian's Cup in the fashion that we did, to be able to clinch early, it's just been like, you know, I've stopped harping on winning as much as I have harping on the boys to just compete every game, every day at practice, every day in the weight room, you know, just compete. You know, it's been really good for our community to see the success, because I think we've always been close. You know, it's just a matter of us being able to compete and really get after it.
Right. Yeah. And I hear you on that front in terms of really preaching that day in and day out buy-in from your program. I do the same as far as competing, right? Day in and day out. It's easy to do it when we feel great, when we feel good, when we got plenty of sleep, when we don't, you know, not a little banged up, but what about on the days that we don't want to, the days that we don't feel like it, right? Those are the days that we really got to come to work. So I hear you. Question I have for you, we go back to, there was something you said there in terms of, plus in the quote that you gave us, you all going back to last year in the offseason clearly made it a goal to come back and district, right? You pointed to winning district, the district 28-6A title this year. In terms of that goal, what was the hardest part of keeping that message day to day, all from the off season, the summer, you come back in the fall, because obviously we don't go until December again. What was the hardest part of keeping your program on track, on message there?
Well, I think, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie. It does help when you have some talented kids. You know, we've got some great players. We had some good, talented kids. You know, that helps. But, you know, to keeping that message alive year round and day after day after day, I think it came down to changing the message, right? You know, we can beat these guys. We can beat these guys. We can beat these guys. And every year, you know, we would have a good result and then the second game not have a very good result. How do we go back and change that? How do we believe that we can beat these guys and then actually execute the plan, right? For me, it came down to learning how to compete. We did competition days. We did weight room competition. We find a way to compete every day in practice, find a way to compete at something. And just, we stopped talking about, oh, we got to beat these guys next time. Oh, we got to find a way to not do this and not do that. And let's worry about competing. Right? Be first to every ball, be first to every tackle, be first to score, be first to make the save. Like we just started talking about competing at everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's made a big difference.
Awesome. Great stuff. Now talk to us about 28-6A, right? Because it's one thing to say, obviously hats off to all district champions in all levels, right? All classifications, but there are some districts that are thought of differently, right? And 28-6A maybe is no exception, right? In terms of just like, even right now, right? Only two, we're going in final week, one game left, and only the top two seeds have been resolved. And we have, what is it? I think four schools are still in play for two spots, if I'm not mistaken. Talk to us just about the rigors of competing in 28-6A.
You know, you talk about World Cup every year, right? And they always mention the group of death, right? I firmly believe that 28-6A is the group of death. And just look at our results, right? We go first match, get a 2-2 draw versus Churchill. And I believe they're sitting at the fifth or the sixth seed, and they still have an outside shot, I believe, right? Look at Clark. You know, they go out and pull a draw against Reagan and pull a 2-1 loss against Reagan, but they were competing for that whole game. You know, Marshall gets a win over Churchill, and it's just – it's a meat grinder every single game, game in and game out. It's even like our teams at the bottom of the table aren't bad. They still compete. They still make it hard for us. And it's really going to make every team that comes out of 28-6A very, very playoff ready. You know, and that's one of the reasons I set out to find a hard non-district schedule. Mm-hmm. We went up to Lake Travis and the Lakes Elite Showcase, and we went up to the North Texas Elite Showcase. And I wanted to get ready for 28-6A because I knew it was going to be tough. I knew every team was going to have a chance.
Now, did you feel, I'm glad you mentioned that, in that non-district, right, that early season non-district, did you come away from that after those two weekends, those, you know, those showcase weekends, did you feel like you had found newfound information in terms of now you know what you had this year versus going into it? Or was it kind of just confirmed already in terms of what you thought you had going in?
Well, you know, we had an unfortunate injury to one of our returning four-year varsity lettermen. Jarrett Stogner got hurt, and we were expecting to have him back in January, you know, going into these tournaments, at least at some point going into district. Well, when we figured out he wasn't going to be ready, going into those tournaments and those scrimmages, we had to figure out who was going to step up for that role. Mm-hmm. And that was the rigor of those seven games that we had. We had to figure out who was going to step up, man. And I believe we've conceded 8 goals in district throughout, you know, this to this point. We had Trey Balligan step in, who hadn't played center back ever. He's been a winger. He's been a six. He's been an attacking mid his whole life in club, in high school. And as a senior, he's got size. He's got some ability. We put him in the back, and he's been flourishing there. It's been really nice to see him step up, you know, kind of a next man up mentality. Right. It's been huge. It's been big for us.
Yeah. So far up to this point, what would you say biggest surprise of your season thus far?
You know, I go back to Trey Balligan. That's been a big, big surprise for us. He never even played center back. So for him to step up and jump into that role, and really kind of lead the defense along with, you know, our keepers in the back line. But he's really been a new addition that it's been a really big, big surprise. Another thing to think about too is SAFC allowed their kids to play. With those kids stepping up, we had 3 starters come in from our team last year. So when you pick up 3 starters, quality players, and you add them to the group we had, you know, with the returning player of the year with Diego and you know, the talent that we had, we pick up 3 starters. It's been something that we've benefited from completely. Those kids are all very good kids as well.
Right. So first district, now correct me if I'm wrong, Coach. Well, actually not even correct me. I wanted to ask you, how long have you been there at Johnson? Because I saw a couple of different dates and information. So I wanted to ask you just to clear the air.
Yeah. This is my 5th year. If I'm not mistaken, my first year at Johnson was the COVID year. We didn't get to finish that season.
Got it.
Right. And before that, I was 5 years at John Jay and 5 years at McCollum High School.
Okay. McCollum. Awesome. So first district title since 2017. Obviously you weren't there for that one, but how does that, in terms of from when you arrived to now, how does that make you feel in terms of just mission, what it was like when you arrived to now, and you look back on it? You really haven't had a chance to really process it because we're still in the season, but does it give you a sense of not closure, but a certain sense of accomplishment? Hey, we kind of got over that next, you know, that next hurdle that we could never really get over for these last couple of years. How do you feel about that?
Oh, it's been absolutely amazing to sit back for right now during this break, to think about the mental hurdles that we had to get over. Since I got there at Johnson, we would have good results. We tied Lee when they were really good and then came back and lost. We tied Reagan, and then in the Ian's Cup, we'd come back and lose, right? And so we had a mental hurdle. We were plenty talented enough to win some of these games. We had to figure out a mental hurdle. We had to figure out how to get out there and believe that we're good enough and believe that we can dominate and believe that we can win these games. And so to see it happen in the Ian's Cup the way it did with 10 men and to score a goal with 10, you know, in a 3-0, it's vindication of all the work that the kids have put in. And finally, this is a group that just goes out there expecting they can beat anybody, expecting they can compete with anyone. Mm-hmm. And that's been a process to develop that mindset. You know, that toughness and that competitive spirit has been something that has been a process to work on. And I was really, really happy to see that pay off.
Right. And you know, we have no doubt that that was kind of that was really cemented in what we were talking about earlier in that off season, the summer, right? Keeping them on message, keeping them on track and competing. That's where those things really get cemented. So, yeah. So well done. Now, you look back on it from when you arrived to now, where would you say, or can you say, where, if you could identify maybe the biggest growth in your program, what would you say that is?
Well, I think, you know, Coach Barranco, he ran a program that was more similar to the kind of the way I would like to run a program. They were intense. They worked out. They trained hard in the offseason. So dropping into Johnson, it wasn't a big of a shift mentally. It wasn't that big of a shift in terms of what the kids were expecting and what they were used to. So that was been really, really good. But as far as the biggest thing of growth, honestly, is just being able to deal with the club kids and our kids and continue to work hand in hand with them and their training and try to figure out ways to continue to develop and grow while they're in club season, you know. And I think that's something that is, you know, we have to work hand in hand with those guys, with the club mm-hmm. coaches and with the kids that play, because they have showcases and all those things. But we also still have to respect our season and our program and put in work. So I think that's something that over the years, as a program, we've gotten better at finding ways to work and still respect that they have club, they have games, they have tournaments, showcases, all those types of things.
Where have you seen, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was kind of one of my last ones here, was on the club side, the coexistence, right, of club and high school. Where have you seen the biggest shift there, the biggest change maybe on that front? And just being able to try to manage your club players.
Well, I think it all starts with communication, right? But what I've started doing too is I'll reach out to coaches. I'll reach out to coach and be like, hey, you know, what do you guys got? What y'all have this coming up this week? Okay, do they have big training session tonight? Let me know. And then we try to find a way to work things out where, you know, maybe we back off on the legs and maybe we do video study or maybe we do a goal setting meeting, or there's so many different things that we can do since we don't play till December. Mm-hmm. And the kids are training year round. You really have to think about periodization and workload and those things. You know, we're fortunate enough at Johnson to have a lot of club kids. And so with that being said, that also is a double-edged sword, right? Because they're playing, but they also get injured at club. And so we have to utilize our athletic trainers. We have to utilize every resource we have to try to keep them moving forward, right? And I think it's a deal that as coaches on the club side and on the high school side, we have to agree that we're both in it for the kids. We're both in it to try to get our teams better and get the kids exposure and get us to win and get them to be successful. And I think if we communicate, you know, I think those things can be huge.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And so younger coach, right? Maybe a current assistant coach or a recently appointed, you know, first year high school coach that is just learning that. Any tips of advice as far as managing the club and the high school, anything that you would say to them?
I would say speak to the kids, speak to the parents, you know, find out what their practice schedule is like. You know, don't be afraid to take a day in the weight room and go light and do body recovery stuff. Don't be afraid to, you can get better in the weight room, right? And you don't have to squat 300 pounds and max lit. You don't have to do those things. What you can do is you can do a lot of body weight stuff. You can do yoga and flexibility. You'd be surprised how many soccer players are very, very, they have very tight mobility.
Right.
And there's ways that we can do things in that regard that can help. And it doesn't have to be a grind every single day. You can still get better, you know, in different ways, right? And so if you know they have a hard session or they have a showcase, it doesn't make sense to go out and train them hard for 40 minutes the day before, right? Find other ways we can get better.
So we start to shift gears here, Coach, kind of transitioning here a little bit. And the real question that the answer to the question that everybody wants to know is, when was the last time you had Chico's Tacos? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But I will come back to that, though.
Okay.
State playoff state playoff matchup, right? So district champ, you're first place. What can you share with us? What do you know? What can you share with us at this time?
Well, I know that we locked in San Marcos on the 25th, 7 p.m. Okay. at San Marcos High School. They have a beautiful facility out there. We'll be traveling out there. Okay. As the one seed, you know, we're in the best possible position we can be, right? As far as helping yourself with the matchup, helping yourself with the route, those types of things. You know, the message to the kids has been take it one game at a time, right? We're looking at 5 wins, right? If we can find a way to get 5 wins, you get to go to Georgetown. I don't want to harp on going to state as much as I want to harp on one at a time. But it is important that we talk about that's the ultimate goal, right? Because it's not going to be easy, right? Getting through round one, then getting through Austin, it's not going to be easy by any stretch, you know? Right. And Region 4 is going to be really, really tough this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When isn't it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, but I would say one of the things that I've talked about, so which our spinoff series of Inside Texas High School Soccer, which I know you're familiar with, we talk about it regularly with Rafa, my co-host. I mention it every coach we speak with this time of year. It's the way I've always looked at it and the way I've described it is it's a 3-phase tournament, right? Phase one is your bi-district area quarterfinal matchup, regional quarterfinal. Second phase is your regional tournament where, you know, once you get there and you're playing 2 games in a weekend, anything can happen, right? And then the third phase, if you're lucky enough to make it there, blessed enough to make it there, is state, where same concept as the regional tournament, where really anything can happen, right? What is your, when you look on it, right, kind of you described it, you broke it down a little bit, but what is the message to the team beyond the obvious, which we all know, which is a game at a time, game by game? But how do you, as a coach, how do you manage that as far as keeping them focused? And then you have to be also simultaneously prepared for that next step if and when it happens.
Well, I look at it the same way as the three-stage approach, right? Round 1, 2, and 3, you know, you get some rest in between games. So you can push your starters more. If you're blessed enough to get to the regional tournament, it's Friday and Saturday. The thing that's going to win you those games is going to be your depth. And I talk to the kids all the time, be ready when your number's called, because if we win on that Friday night and then you turn around and have to play on Saturday, your starters will have played 60, 70, 80 minutes. They're going to need time to recover and they're going to need less minutes that Saturday. It's just, you can't push that hard and that tough of a match back-to-back days, right? It's kind of unfortunate they have to play back-to-back, but
right.
Your depth, the teams that win those games, the team that wins state, those teams are the ones that have the most depth. You know, and I try to navigate that throughout the year. And I play kids as much as I possibly can. I get them in as much as I can. You know, I try to shuffle up the lineup as much as I can just to get kids opportunities so that when they do have to go out there, it's not the regional tournament. It's the first time they've had to go out there and be successful, right? And that's really my biggest thing is we harp on depth, right? We harp on next man up and just be ready. When your number's called, perform. And you kind of saw it a little bit with Ryan Palmer when he stepped up in the Ian's Cup.
Right,
you know.
Right.
A senior keeper goes down with a red card and Palmer has to step up and make 2 huge double save right away.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that kind of deal, the depth is where I think you can get out of the regional tournament and you can potentially go on.
Right. Yeah. And shout out there again to Ryan Palmer getting some more pub right after being selected for our game ball award, I should say, not team ball, game ball award. So congrats to, but yeah, I mean, you talk about depth. You have him, you have Andrew LaPlaca there as well in goal. I mean, that's some serious goalkeeping there as well. So congrats to him as well. So you look at it, we talk about so from your perspective, right, your opinion, what do you think is the biggest shift coaches have to make? Because you have your non-district, right, non-district, you enter district, and you get into the routine and the grind that is district, and then all of a sudden – it changes, right? It changes round by round. And how do you prepare? What's the biggest shift in terms of prepping for the playoffs? How do you tackle that in terms of, we talked about periodization, training, recovery. How do you look at that?
Well, I think it's important to know that you've been training since December, right? I think it's important to know that, like, at some point, we're just polishing what we do. Mm-hmm. We are who we are. We just want to continue to try to get better, but we want to just try to not overthink it, not overdo it, right? We don't need to go into a game and change everything we do for an opponent, right? We want to go out there and know how to deal with things tactically. That's what all the season is for. But by this point, you'd like to think that we have a plan for all the different formations we could see and all the different set pieces we want to run. And at this point, we're just polishing. We're just trying to keep our fitness, keep our health. We know we trust our athletic trainers to keep the boys as healthy as possible. And it's one of those things where we're just trying to polish and just kind of let our kids take us where they need to go.
Gotcha. And, you know, the interesting piece about, I think as coaches, we clearly understand that the hard part, or the easier said than done part, is trying to keep teenagers, on that, on that task, I guess, that task at hand. So I hear you. So yeah. You look forward to the state playoffs, right? What right now has you, it could be your team, it could be the whole collective, the sport, but what has you maybe the most excited about this year's tournament?
I think, like I said, the way we ended last year, I think we have a little bit of unfinished business. You know, I'm excited to see how this is going to pan out. I'm excited to see the boys compete, because this is something they've talked about for a while that they want to do. So now I'm like, okay, go show me, you know. Yeah. Show me that you want it. Show me that you're willing to fight for it. You know, show me that you're willing to compete. I'm excited to see what 28-6A does, our whole district does in this playoffs, because I wouldn't be surprised if you see, you know, a third round match between 28-6A opponents. I'm excited to see our district. I think we can excel. I think that we're very, very strong, you know, just San Antonio area in general. I mean, Southwest is killing it. Harlandale's having a great year. I could see a San Antonio team getting out this year, and I'm really excited to see that play out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. So now we start to shift here, little coach. We look big picture, right? Macro, right? Beyond our district, our school district, right? Your school, your program, 28-6A, but now our sport as a whole, as it relates to Texas high school soccer, kind of a two-parter here. Where have you seen, maybe just from your time that you arrived at Johnson to now, where have you seen the biggest growth in terms of our sport, in your opinion? And where do you feel Texas high school soccer is headed?
For me, it's the social media coverage. Holy moly. With Tasco, the way that they cover, and with Lethal Enforcer, the coverage that they give, 6A28 and the coverage, and all the different platforms, the 50-50 podcast, you name it, right? There's so many different SA soccer guys are treating stuff. I mean, there's so much coverage for our sport now, along with just media and Terrence Thomas and San Antonio area. But if you go across the state, you can find all kinds of platforms that are covering soccer. It's amazing. That was not 5 years ago. That wasn't really the case. It's just grown and grown and grown and grown. It's really put Texas soccer on the map, in my opinion.
And I would say, oh, I'm sorry,
go ahead. No, I was just going to say that the coverage has been, you know, unbelievable. And then now also to see the growth of what Tasco has done and how much they impact the sport, you know, and you know, UIL is really starting to do some things to help us out on in that regard, with the longer preseason schedule and things like that. It's been, it's been carrying our sport positive.
Yeah. Not perfect for sure. We understand that. We all get that. But I think UIL has slowly started to get the message more in terms of starting things sooner. I think there's certain things that we can argue, that we can discuss in terms of adjusting, as you alluded to earlier, right, is those back-to-back, the regional tournaments, right, the state tournaments, those are brutal. This, in soccer, it's different. We know the data tells us just for a Premier League game, right, and these are elite-level athletes. They play to play one game 90 minutes. The data tells us they need about 48 hours of recovery minimum for one match. So I think we still have to kind of push that envelope a little bit there, amongst other things, as far as scheduling. Not going to be perfect, but I hear you as well. And I would agree with you in terms of not by no means tooting our own horn, but I think that just here across Texas, but even here, specifically here in San Antonio, the programs, the communities, the student athletes here in the San Antonio area, they are a bit, rightfully so. It's just it's just kind of rich amount of, they're spoiled, I guess, for lack of better words, with the amount of coverage that is here. It's a great thing. It's a good thing, right? And just, I mean, it's a amount of riches here in terms of, as you mentioned, different outlets that are covering the sport. So for us to be a part of it is, you know, is special. It's a blessing, but to see it grow, I think it's a great thing as well. And I hear you. I know for a fact, just from the messages we receive, that it is definitely putting Texas high school soccer on the map nationally. So I would agree with you there.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Now, going forward, maybe, I don't know, you look in your crystal ball next 5 years, where do you think our sport is headed?
Whew, I don't know. I do think we are at some point going to be headed towards a 7A. I don't know that we go to two divisions like football does. I do think the 7A is on the horizon, and I do think at least for the regional tournament, mm-hmm. they do find a way to get a Thursday, Saturday type situation. I think that's something that can be worked on and can be looked at. And I don't think it's too out of the question. I know there's some issues with traveling, right. Especially the El Paso, Dallas area. The travels there can be tough, right? I get that. But, you know, thinking about just periodization and athlete safety, I think that's something that, you know, is an argument can be made on both sides to try to find a way. But, no, but those are the things I would think of.
Yeah, those are some good ones. I might have to clip that one and use that one later when you say it's like, hey, there will be a day in between regional tournaments. I might have to use that one. I like that, Coach.
Maybe, hopefully.
Right. Now, you said that with conviction, like you know it's coming. So I like that.
Maybe.
No, you can't take it back.
I know, right? I said it.
No, just kidding. So awesome. Well, hey, that's going to do it for our first segment, Coach. That was the buildup there that we just wrapped up. And before we kind of start having some fun with you in our counterattack segment, I want to tell you about our good friends at Gipper. So Gipper is a way that schools, athletic departments, ADs, and coaches create world-class marketing content. Join over 4,000 coaches. I remember when we first partnered with Gipper, this was 2,500. So that's just saying something. But join over 4,000 coaches, ADs, sports information directors, and director and club directors that use Gipper to create high-quality visual branded graphics for your program. The best part, anyone can do it in seconds on any device without needing any design experience whatsoever. If you do have significant design experience in the social media marketing world, this is designed for you as well. Is what they call, you are what they call the power user. So this is really, really with you in mind as well. Excuse me. And just for being a listener and supporter of the 50/50 podcast, you're going to save money with them immediately. Simply by, for just again, for being a supporter of the podcast, you can receive 10% off any first time Gipper purchase, any annual package. All you have to do is visit gipper.com/partner/50/50 to learn more. Again, that's gipper.com/partner/50/50. And our other great friends, Bill and Kyle over at Global Scarves, great. They just do phenomenal products with Global Scarves. If you are in the market looking for a scarf, whether you want to create one for your program, right, supporters group, what have you, anything, these are the guys to look up. So Global Scarves is the top provider of custom knitted scarves, beanies, and other fan merchandise in the U.S. Yes, that's the other big thing. They do far more than just scarves. Yes, they're called Global Scarves, but beanies and blankets, that's what they're also really known for. But all merch is fully custom with free design services and free shipping on all orders. So again, free design services and free shipping as well. What are you waiting for? Make sure you look them up. You can contact them at info@globalscarves.com to get any free designs or quotes built out for your school, club, or any personal recommendation you may have for them. Again, info@globalscarves.com. Simply mention the podcast or use the code #5050pod. Excuse me. All right, Coach, moment of truth, the counterattack segment where we ask you all kinds of off-the-wall random questions. And we have fun with you, not at your expense, but we have fun with you here. So you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let me see here. Let me make sure I got the right questions here. All right, here we go. First one. Sunrises or sunsets?
Sunsets.
Sunsets? Good man. Next one. Day person or night owl?
Night owl.
Oh, wow. Two for two.
Yes, with sir.
Me. All right. Now, let's see here. This is the big one. Messi or Ronaldo?
Messi all day.
Messi? Oh, man. We were going. We were perfect.
The creativity.
Right. Yeah. So, well, they're just to be able to compare them is not fair to either one of them.
Agreed.
But,
yeah,
but I agree. Favorite number and why?
53 was my number playing growing up.
53, huh? Yeah, okay. How did that happen? Did they just run out of jerseys that day?
Random selection. It just is what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, and you embraced it, huh? 53.
I just took it, yeah.
All right. So if not a soccer coach, you would have coached what? You would have been coaching what?
American football. Yeah, there absolutely. Regular football.
Yeah.
100%. I coached for a few years. It's a different kind of grind, but it was a good – that Friday Night Lights environment is fun.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, one thing – you are the soccer czar in America. Very first thing you would change in soccer in America tomorrow would be what? Agenda item one. What would that be?
Oh man, that's a tough one. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
What would I change? I'm stumped. I don't have anything. I don't know. Okay. You got me on that one.
We'll come back to that. All right. I'll mark it down here because I tend to forget too. All right. Shoot.
Okay.
So this one's a two-parter here. Okay. Current music playlist and current music podcast list. So we pick up your phone right now. What are we going to find on that music playlist? What's in the mix there? What's in the shuffle, whatever? What's in that rotation and podcast as well?
For me, you're going to find the Wu-Tang Clan, 100%. I'm a big Wu-Tang Clan fan. That's my game day music. That's my workout music. That's my clean the house music.
Clean the house, huh? Wow, yeah, you go hard.
That's the music. I'm a big Wu-Tang guy. I got a chance to go see them in Boston and it was so much fun. It was great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now podcasts and things like that, you know, I'm a big Joe Rogan podcast guy and there you go. So
pretty much just one in the arsenal, huh?
I don't have a whole lot of time to spend on. I mean, there's hours and hours you can kill on those things. So
yeah, you're too busy cleaning the house to Wu-Tang, man. That's what it is. All right. Favorite, and this one always starts fights for some reason. Favorite and least favorite soccer team.
I'm a Manchester City fan.
You can't say Johnson either. You can't say Johnson.
No, I'm a Manchester City fan, 100%. My least favorite team, Liverpool. Liverpool, just right now, because they're about to win the table. And yeah. So yeah.
Well, this concludes the podcast, Coach. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. All right. That was the wrong answer. Okay. So I'm going to ask that one again. All right. We'll start over. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Game day superstitions, or as a coach, not as a player, any game day superstitions or rituals?
Just recently, I did this thing where I wear my backpack now. And so now I'm stuck all the way through pregame. I have to keep my backpack on. And it's just this weird thing. It happened on accident. We ended up winning. And so now, you know, some of my coach friends make fun of me because they'll take pictures of me and I'm wearing my backpack, and it's become a thing. So now I don't take it off until at least the game starts.
So is this a winning streak thing going, or what?
I don't know if it's the winning streak thing, but we won with it on and we've lost since. I mean, we lost in the playoffs in the third round I did the whole backpack thing again, but it happened. I started wearing it. I don't know. A lot of people don't notice and some people do. And it's just, I wear it throughout pregame and throughout as the game starts, you know, and that's just kind of a thing that I've started doing. It's weird, but I don't know. I can't really take it off now.
Our rituals are just weird in general. Now, when did that start though? Did that start this year, or when exactly did that start?
That started accidentally last year. I don't know. It's not, I don't have like a 15-year-old tradition or anything like that. But last year, our second game against Brandeis, I ain't gonna lie, I was nervous as hell. We needed to get that one back. We wanted to make the playoffs, and we were sitting tied for fourth with them, third and fourth, you know, and I just ended up wearing that backpack the whole match.
Yeah.
And we ended up scoring late to win 2-1 or something like that. And so I got out of that game and group chat with coaches making fun of me for wearing the backpack the whole match.
You wore it through the whole match.
I wore it through the whole match. Yeah, exactly. And so then I started wearing it the whole match, and then I started taking it off during the match, and so it's just become a weird thing. I wear a backpack.
Okay, so what's our rules of engagement here? It's got to be, so it's still the same backpack from last year. You can't take it off till the right at kickoff. How does this work?
So now I wear it through pregame, and I consciously will take it off, you know, and sometimes I forget and I'll leave it on, but at least through pregame,
yeah,
it's kind of a weird deal.
Yeah, interesting. That's a first backpack. Yeah. That's a first.
An accidental first for me too.
Right. Okay. All right. Most recent binge watch, Netflix, Prime Video, what have you? What's been the most recent thing you've had a chance to like really power through and watch?
Jack Reacher on Amazon Prime. So I got on season one just recently, about a year ago. And so season two just dropped, and Jack Reacher, big old dude, goes around beating people up. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You might be the second or third person to say that in the last few months. So, because that just came out a couple months ago.
It's just recently. Yeah.
Recently. Yeah. Yeah. You might be the second or third that has said that. So pretty good though.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's one of those, you know, investigative type deals. They got to figure out.
Yeah.
You know, and of course there's lots of action. It's just my type of show type thing.
Yeah. Okay. Next one. Breakfast. This is a tough one here, right? But I'll ask it because I know we're going to discuss this more later, but being that I know you're from El Paso as well, same as me, right? Breakfast taco or breakfast burrito? Which one?
I had to get used to breakfast tacos, but for me, it's a burrito. Flour tortilla, it's a burrito. Corn tortilla, it's a taco.
All right.
But obviously in San Antonio, I had to concede that one.
Yeah, I could only fight it so long as well.
Exactly, but 100%. Right.
Yeah, but would you say, but here, the breakfast, what they call the breakfast taco here, are you now more of a breakfast taco guy or the breakfast burrito going back home, back in El Paso?
Oh, those breakfast burritos are top notch. You can't compare. It's a different deal. It's like comparing a Whataburger to an In-N-Out. It's the same thing, but it's completely different.
I don't remember. Those things have grown, man. I don't remember those things being that massive when I was younger, you know?
Exactly.
I've had when I went back home, right, when I lived there we left here in 2019. We were there for a little over 2 years. And I don't know if you know, are you familiar with Rafael's Burritos?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rafa's. I was just like, man, yeah, Rafa's. Yeah. So.
And we had Bonnie's Burritos back in my time over there. That was a big one. Big old 12-inch burrito. It was huge.
I know, man. It was like, this thing is mad. It took two of us to eat. I think they had like a 15 or 16 inch one. I was like, God. So, all right. I'm getting hungry just talking about this.
Right.
All right. So next one, you got to pick one here. Lose your phone or lose your wallet.
Lose my wallet.
Isn't that sad?
I can on my phone turn off my cards.
Yeah.
And probably order new stuff on my phone instantly.
Right. Yeah. But I think it speaks to the bigger part of what we've become with our phones, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, yeah. I almost sometimes don't need my wallet anymore. Like, think about it. Apple Pay and everything on your phone, it's like, you know, what need besides holding my driver's license, you know? Right.
All right, next one here.
Yeah.
Secret talent. Kind of a talent, something, skill you might have that maybe a lot of people don't really know about you?
I'm a pretty simple guy. I don't have a whole lot of talents. I recently started playing darts with the wife, and I kind of win pretty often. So I think I'm a pretty good darts player.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's about it. And then the other thing is I started training jiu-jitsu with my kids. And so I think that's turning into a fun new hobby.
Nice. So, yeah. Awesome. How long you been doing that?
Well, I started about a year ago, but my kids have been training for 5-6 years. And so I started really getting into it and having some fun with it.
Awesome.
You know, in season is a little bit tough, but once I get done, it's something that I try to do a little bit more of.
Yeah. You got tired. You got tired of getting thrown around and you had to learn how to defend yourself, right?
That's 100%.
What kids. Yeah. All right. Next one here. Coach, a professional coach that you maybe have a lot of respect for and maybe pattern yourself after. Who would you say? Soccer coach.
I'd probably say Pep, only in the sense that I think I catch myself overthinking things too much. And that's been the big knock on him. He's always kind of trying to tweak or something and change something and do something. And, you know, I catch myself in that world where I'm always constantly trying to find the answer instead of just, you know, letting things happen, letting things figure out, you know, and that's been his biggest knock. And I think that's probably been mine too. Sometimes I try to do too much.
Yeah. Okay. Book you recently read or are currently reading?
Book we recently read was the, what am I looking for here? The $1 million, the Millionaire Next Door. It's a financial book. It's talking about how people, everyday average American became a millionaire.
Yeah.
It's kind of a investing type stuff. It's a little bit of a hobby of mine to just read that kind of stuff and hear people's story and how they've made things and done things. And it's kind of inspiring to think about.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Got a couple more here, Coach.
Yeah.
We're coming back to this one, number six, that I asked you. One thing, you're right. David Johnson is a soccer czar in America.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you say goes in terms of soccer in America, what would be the first change you would implement tomorrow?
I would like to see MLS find a way to compete overseas. I think that'd be fun. Compete in different leagues versus European leagues and South American leagues. And I'd love to see how we do. And I think that would grow the MLS because now it would create a international market of players.
Yeah, I think they're in the middle of trying to figure that one out right now with all the Super League talk.
I think that would be cool.
Yeah, okay. All right, and final one here for you, Coach.
Yeah.
So finish this statement here, all right? The 2023-2024 Johnson Jaguars season will be a success if... Put you on the spot here.
If we can make it to the Georgetown. If we can make it out of the regional region four and make it to Georgetown, I think it'll be a successful year.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's
I'm sure your boys would agree, right? I'm sure your boys would agree.
That's the goal. And I think they'd be mad at me if I said anything less.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Awesome. I respect that for sure. That does it. That does it, Coach. That's it, man. You survived.
I hope we did good. I hope it was fun. Yeah. I mean, I had a blast.
Yeah. No, you did great, man. You did great. Always great. You know, I referenced it a couple of times here. I didn't start with it, but always great. Love when I can have somebody else from my hometown, when I can have somebody from El Paso on here, which was pretty cool. I didn't even realize you were there until I think, what was it? The
Tasco. I think we were talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Tasco is where we kind of randomly discovered it, I think. And I was going to ask you about that. Thoughts on, you know, when we were talking about the state of the game and Tasco and, you know, your takeaways from Tasco, the Tasco convention this year. What were your thoughts on that, by the way?
Oh, it's amazing what the Tasco board has done, you know, what Coach Jimmy Kruger has done with the convention. It's been pretty cool. We're getting some international coaches come out now. We had the coach from Liverpool come out. I believe he was an academy coach. I mean, we're getting some really, really good lectures. You know, we're hosting the All-Star game. Tasco is doing a whole lot for our game right now. I think it goes without saying, if you're not in Tasco, it's, you know, it's something you should really consider because they just do a lot for us. They're great people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now being associated with them and being able to work with them and cover the convention, as you know, I've had the privilege of being able to be there the last 2 years, and the people that are just, because it's made up of coaches, right? Current coaches, former coaches. So they speak our language. They understand our problems, our everyday issues, all of that. So when they're trying to push the envelope forward in terms of our sport and our profession, I think just phenomenal people.
I mean, and it's service, right? We're all in it to grow our sport, and we're all doing it as a servant leadership deal. We want to be representatives of our sport. And so everybody in that room is all about serving and just trying to grow and just help with our profession.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. And back to El Paso, we were saying, when was the last time? So when was the last time you were back home, and when's the last time you had Chicos?
So I go every summer. When I go, we get off for the summer. I take the kids back home to visit grandparents, and I go see all my friends and family. We go every summer. We spend about a week out there. I will tell you that we have learned how to make Chicos at home. I couldn't do without it. So we figured out a recipe. I got on some Reddit and some Google.
Like genuine, the exact same, everything?
We've tinkered some things here and there, and we've gotten pretty close.
Okay.
You know, we've gotten really close. So Chicos, my cravings for that has been nullified a little bit because we can make it at home anytime. We get the crinkle cut fries and everything. We do it right.
Wow. Well, you're going to have to give me your address, Coach, because I'm going to put in some orders for sure. No doubt. No doubt. And for the people, it's what do they say? If you know, you know. If you're ever in El Paso, you've never had Chico. Now, I will say this. I will say this. I don't know how you feel about it. it is definitely different from when you and I were growing up. Have you noticed that?
Oh, 100%. Everyone will tell you El Paso, it's changed. Ingredients, I think the quality of the ingredients changed. Mm-hmm. So it's still a good place to go. It's still nostalgia, but you know, it's definitely changed. I think now a lot of the restaurants in El Paso are making their own version of Chico's that is a little bit better for some people. And my family still lives there, and they'd rather go to certain other places and
really
and have the Chico's there, have their version of Chico's.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. So I go back, I would go back and forth on this because I could never get two people to agree on if it was the difference in the ingredients was the cheese or the salsa, the sauce, which one. I couldn't tell, but I was like, this is definitely different. This is definitely different. So,
yeah, 100%.
And I don't know when exactly that happened, but it's different for sure. So awesome. Well, hey coach, really appreciate having you here. Thank you for your time. Congratulations again to you and your boys, district champs for the first time since 2017. And that's really saying something again in just an incredibly brutal district that is 28-6A. So congratulations to you and your boys, your community as well. Thank you for being here. Really appreciate you. And as often the case, we like to wrap up with in our stoppage time here. We like to give our guests an opportunity. So to give any shout outs, thank yous, or anything, just message to your community as well. Anything that's on your mind as it relates to the game, the floor is yours.
Awesome. Thank you. I'd like to take a quick second to just give a shout out to our girls soccer team. They won district as well. They're undefeated. They're killing it. They're on the verge of making a big run.
Give them a little air horn too. There you go.
They're having a heck of a year. Also, Coach Stone's doing a great job. So I want to give them a shout out. Our Johnson community, our JPA, Mr. Komalander, Mr. Miller, Coach Miller, they do a great job of supporting us so that we can be successful. One other thing I wanted to make sure I give some love out to is my wife, you know, a coach's wife, holding down the fort, doing it up, doing everything while I'm gone, coaching other kids. She's an MVP. She always, you know, none of this is possible without her.
Little applause there for all the coaches' wives everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Our spouses, I should say, not just the wives, but yeah.
And then to our Johnson community, you know, we're not done. We're going to give it all we can. I'm going to give every ounce of energy I got to try to help it. I know the boys are going to do the same, and we're going to go as far as we can possibly go.
Yeah. Awesome. Great stuff. And before I wrap up with our stoppage time final message, one thing we're doing a little differently here also now, Coach, and big shout out, by the way, to Ken Murphy Photography, big supporter of our podcast and big supporter of what he does. If you're in the DFW area or you're familiar, he does work, I know, in different parts of the state. Ken Murphy Photography, got to check him out, does unbelievable work. Thanks for your support, Ken. Appreciate you. Something we're doing differently now, Coach, is we're introducing a little stoppage time, little mini segment here where now our guest can randomly ask me any question that they want, right? Just one, of course, but anything as well. We feel like you survived the grinder that was all these questions, so we're going to give you the opportunity to ask me anything you like.
All right. I'll throw the one back at you. You're the soccer czar. What are you changing to make our soccer world better?
You would ask me that one.
That's a good one.
Well, I feel like I'm never going to, you know, I've been asked this one a few times actually on the podcast somehow. And I never give the simple answer because it's just, there's so many layers to it. There really is. So I never know. Mine is just a matter of where do I want to begin, right? That's the problem. But I think as a whole is continuing to immerse. I would say this is, when we talk about culture, the culture of our sport in our country, yes, our country is very different because soccer was light years being, it was essentially dormant for about 40, 50 years, right? It was just not on the radar whatsoever. And then you had people who, right, stop me if you've heard this one, they referred to it a long, long, long time ago as a communist sport, insert whatever else you want to call it, right? Where nothing could be further from the truth. But I feel one of the biggest things I would do is it strikes at the core of trying to implement a soccer culture around America is put futsal courts on public parks around the country, right? Is have one of the things that I don't like about our soccer culture in our country right now is our kids
don't play.
And it's not really just a soccer culture thing, but just in general is, you remember back in our day, right? We used to go outside as soon as we got home. If we didn't have any homework or we finished homework, we got kicked out of the house and we wouldn't come back home until it was dark, right? Until 100%. Right. Now, different world. Yes, I get it. But also a more connected world more than ever, right? So it's kind of back and forth. And I feel that our kids now train, they don't play, right? They just train, right? And it's overly structured at times. And that's what I feel is the one piece that's kind of, or one of the main pieces that's holding us back in terms of a talent identification piece, a discovery piece, and us really being able to unleash, you know, that creativity piece that comes with the numbers of the size, a country our size. Mm-hmm. So I feel from that perspective, having kids just play more freestyle on their own, on the streets, on the courts, futsal, giving them different opportunities to just play, right? Play, you know, pickup, right? Kickabout games on their own and not just always having to practice four times a week. Cause if you're only practicing, if you're only playing during practice, right? We're never going to be as good. I don't know if we're ever going to truly see our full potential, right? The true destiny of what we all want for our sport in this country. So I don't know, maybe kind of outside of the box a little bit, but I would maybe start there, you know?
Yeah. Find a ways to get kids playing more, right? And not correct. So structured in leagues, but just outside having fun.
Without coaches yelling at them, without parents telling them, kick it every two seconds.
100%. Right? I love it. That's a great answer.
Yeah. I would start. Yeah. We need to allow kids to be kids and formulate, be able to think it through on their own. Cause it's a big part of the connection piece with soccer IQ, right? Development, right? And letting them sort out the problems that the game, because, you know, stop me if you've heard this one before, they say that the game is the greatest teacher, right? And the more you're playing it free flowing freestyle on your own, I think the better future talent we can produce, I feel.
No, I agree. I've talked to people that have gone to different countries and they've just vacationed and seen, and the one things they notice is kids are playing soccer in the streets. Kids are playing in the parks. They're just playing nonstop. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely, there's something there for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. I would say so. I would say so. But I guess that's me agreeing with me, right? Because that was my that was my answer.
That's a better answer than what I gave.
No. That's good. Well, Coach, thank you. Appreciate you again. For our listeners, big main message, I think my final thought is really, I've kind of been harping on it, building on it, is an eligibility check coming up. Hope everyone has been getting it done, our student athletes in the classroom, so they are eligible for the upcoming state playoffs. Want to wish everybody, so two things. If you've qualified, you're on the verge of, or if you're going into this last week, still trying to qualify for the state playoffs, best of luck. Congratulations if you have qualified for the state playoffs. But also, let us not forget, at least half, if not more, do not make it to the state playoffs every year. If you're part of that group, hey, we're thinking of you too. And, you know, don't put your head down and lose confidence. Continue to work with your teammates if you are coming back. And listen to your coaches. Put in that work in the off season, over the summer, on your own. Doesn't always have to be structured as we just talked about. And we look forward, because that happens every year. There's always a couple of Cinderellas. There's always a couple of dark horses that kind of come out of nowhere. And that's what always excites me about the tournaments every year in all classifications. So as the state playoffs draw closer, want to wish everybody the best of luck. And for all those who won't be able to participate, go out there, find somebody to support as well. And it's just a great, great environment. And one thing that I really wanted to hit on is, because we've been seeing different reports as of late, is players, coaches, parents, everybody, the officials, everybody, the community, communities everywhere, is let's make sure that we continue to make it a point to try to be, to model, particularly the adults, to model the proper sportsmanship for our athletes. And because what there isn't room in our game for is the, you know, the unsportsmanlike stuff that we see. from time to time, very unfortunate, and usually can be prevented in most cases. So, yeah, that's all I got. Other than that, just a reminder, go on there. You can go, you can find us on social media. You can find us on Twitter, X, and Twitch at 50_50pod. You can find us on Instagram at 50_50podcast, as well as on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. I did have somebody ask me recently. They went on YouTube and they said, it's like, hey, I can't find all your episodes. Since we record live, pretty much everything we do is live. Go on, click on the live tab, and you'll find all our episodes there. So thank you to all our supporters, all our listeners helping us grow, being listened to. Now we've hit 50 countries around the world. No idea how that happened, but we're grateful for that. Thank you for that. To our listeners and supporters around the state of Texas, but also around the country, thank you. Go on there for the audio podcast portion. You can find us on all major audio podcast platforms. Go on there. Feel free. Give us a rating and let us know what you think. If you like what you hear, give us a rating. Always helps with the algorithms and for people to be able to discover our podcast. If you think we stink, hey, tell us why. You still subscribe. You got to subscribe if you want to tell us we stink, and we'll work on that as well. So, and one last note, our next episode, right? This was mentioned in the last episode of Inside Texas High School Soccer. Next episode of the 50-50 podcast, episode 110, will be next Wednesday, March 20th, 8:05 p.m., featuring assistant coach for Baylor Women's Soccer, Coach Cole Oren. Interesting story there between him and I that we're going to look forward to telling. Pretty cool story. But again, that's Cole Oren, assistant women's soccer coach, Baylor University. He will be joining us for the next episode of the 50-50 podcast on Wednesday, March 20th. So, Coach, that's going to do it. Thank you for your time. Really appreciate you. Want to wish you the absolute best of luck again in the state playoffs. So for Coach David Johnson, the head men's soccer coach of the San Antonio Johnson Jaguars, I am Coach Hector Cano, and until the next time, you know what to do. Keep downloading and keep listening.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the 50-50 podcast, powered by National Scouting Report. Help us continue to grow by liking, rating, and subscribing on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at 50_50pod, on Instagram at 50_50podcast, as well as on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.